Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
Well, right now I'm in my brother-in-law's kitchen. both his wife and my wife are in Montauk with the kids on the beach.
So nice.
We're working somehow. He's cooking and I'm on a podcast I didn't know about.
It's episode 211 of the Simply Human podcast with your hosts Mark and Rick, two human beings. Being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it is Dr. Josh Wagner, but it's Wagner.
Wagner?
It's Wagner. He's an international speaker, seminar leader, author, consultant to successful doctors, practices, and their staffs around the world. After building a private practice in New York City and seeing patients for years, Dr. Wagner realized his true passion is in guiding others to their own success while building greater peace of mind. Looking forward to Dr. Wagner. And we got some time travel talk here, Rick.
Yes. Oh God.
Yeah.
I can't even keep up anymore.
So we recorded. Hang on. Hold on. Let me do this. We recorded with Dr. Wagner on. And tonight is August 26th, right?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yes. It is.
It is August 26th. We recorded.
My phone tells me everything.
Wait, what is that?
What was that?
Is that your computer? Did somebody just hop on our call from the Department of Defense? We'll get to that. Okay, check this out. We recorded with Dr. Wagner on April 1st.
Are you kidding me? That's a really long time ago.
Wow, it was April 1st, but he didn't want us to release the show until his book came out.
He wanted us to hang on to it for a bit, and we got a little bit behind. I'm not sure when his book came out, but
it was like it was supposed to be like in June, and then it was July, and I think in August he was like, "Okay, you can go for it." So we need to record this intro. But Rick, we just recorded an intro.
So Mark, okay, loyal listeners will remember we talked to Dr. Butt Sound. I don't remember what was her name.
Julie Ken. Sorry, I was reading an email.
Yeah, you were hanging me out to dry. Dr. Julie Ken from the Department of Defense, like a month ago, maybe, something like that. And we were going to have her on again to talk about sleep. Well, there was a miscommunication, whatever. Well, she works for the DOD. And so part of the DOD is they like, hey, if we're having our people on like a interview or whatever, we're going to have, I don't know what you call them, listeners, handlers or whatever. Making sure that they're not like, all right, Dr. Ken, before we talk about sleep, let's talk about the complete incompetence of this administration. We're not asking questions about dropping nuclear weapons in a hurricane.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
And so we have our two handlers on the call, but the doctor's not on the call. We don't know what happened. It was just a miscommunication probably because they said she never misses appointments. But like, so Mark and I just spent the last 20 minutes talking to two women whose names I don't remember. But,
one was Megan.
Yeah, I remember Megan. She is from the Washington, D.C. area. She likes the Washington professional football team, whose name I don't say out loud because it's a racist trope. And living in Tacoma, Washington. It was 81 degrees today. Low of 69.
She did say that. She did say that.
Which I responded, huh, very nice. And I'm sure Mark picked up on the joke. They had a cookout today.
Picnic. Yeah.
at the picnic.
So we had this whole conversation with these. Yeah. It's just like these random.
Mark and I did spend like 2 or 3 minutes talking about not current politics, but past presidential politics. And you could tell that their instructions are,
if there's any politics talk at all whatsoever and about the history of this country, just don't respond at all.
Because like we were talking about like the relationship between George H.W. Bush and
Ronald Reagan.
And I talked about how George W. Bush's campaign.
Okay, we can just move right along here.
A bunch of stuff, and they were completely dead silent, not even like awkward laughter, not even acknowledging it. And then so we were like, so, other lady, where are you from? She's like, oh, I'm from Wyoming. And we're like, oh, that's great. Okay, that's terrific. She told us a lot about Wyoming. So
So now we have to like, we're going to use the intro we just recorded because we talked about, the Simple Human appliances. I'm looking at our schedule. We're gonna have to schedule Dr. Ken for like December.
Let's bump somebody else. She's really, really good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll look at that tomorrow. But look, we just got an email today. I have 3 emails today from potential guests. Can I
give them the?
No.
Essential.
No. Events. Can I read you an excerpt from this email? Do you have to promise me something?
That I'm not going to make fart noises.
You can't interrupt me until the end.
I will not.
When I say, Rick, your thoughts, that's when you can interrupt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, Mark.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. Name. This woman's name is a breast implant illness warrior. She is the creator of CHI Hormone Warrior Transformation, which offers women the 3 pinnacles of wellness: cleanse the body, heal the hormones, ignite life. She's one of Orange County's top nutritionists. Knowing that there were others just like her, women feeling isolated and alone as they fought breast implant illness, she created the TITS method.
I'm sorry.
Which supports women with symptoms of the illness by addressing and reversing toxicity, infection, trauma, and shame. The TITS method is what she called it.
Huh.
So we'll have to have her on.
May I say something?
Rick, your thoughts.
I apologize for initially giggling at the idea of
implant illness.
Yeah. I'm sure, I don't
need
a doctor, but I'm sure that's a very real thing.
Yes.
If you're dealing with that, I apologize.
I set you up for that. I'm sorry.
What I was expecting, but I'm interested in hearing more about that.
I feel like we need to have her on.
Similar to what I used to use on your mom. Is that I also want to find out if she came up with that, and I want to high five her because that's really funny.
Well, yes, that is very good. Okay.
How does that compare to the Juggs method? From scientists in Stockholm have been, pioneering.
Is there an over-the-shoulder boulder holder?
I don't get it. What do you mean?
Okay. So I thought it was funny. I was listening to the radio, and then we'll get to Dr. Wagner. But
I was listening to the radio. So.
One of the radio people was saying that he was in his garage and he got really hot and he said, I just took my shirt off. And the other radio guy goes, well, so you were just standing there in your bra.
That's the kind of thing, if you and I had a live radio show, that's the kind of thing.
That would be great. I wish we could do that someday. Okay. Well, very excited of finally getting this released. And we talk all about his book and all about all that stuff in the interview. And then we're going to, obviously, in the show notes, all that stuff will be linked too. So here, without further ado, April 1st to now, which now is I don't know when, because I don't know when I'm releasing this, Dr. Josh Wagner. There he is.
Yeah, all good. Sorry about that confusion.
No, that's totally my bad. I was like, oh, no.
No, I should have replied and been like, hey, I thought it was 30, but it just worked for me.
Okay. So are you in Australia? Where are you?
Oh, no, no. That was just when I corresponded last.
Okay.
I'm in L.A. right now.
In L.A. Very cool. I was there. No. I was there.
Where are you located?
I'm actually in, like, West Texas.
Oh, right. I was reading your about page. I really liked your whole, like, I am and I believe.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. Yeah. I was in L.A. When was that? Like, the beginning of April. My wife had some work thing she was doing, and I was there with a friend of mine. And while our wives were doing the work thing, we went to Staples Center and took some pictures and then rented those little bikes and rode to Dodger Stadium.
How long did it take you?
It's like 4 miles. So,
oh, okay, cool.
It was all uphill. We didn't realize like how uphill it was.
Was it the bikes with like electric? Or
No. Just the straight up. There's like three gears on them. And it was like 5 p.m. downtown L.A. traffic where it was probably pretty dumb. So,
good story.
But it's an adventure, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So are you from that area?
No, I'm from New York, just north of New York City.
Yeah.
And I've been spending more time out here recently. I have some family out here, a girl I've been dating, and I'm just getting so sick of the hustle bustle
right.
in New York. It's crazy. And the weather. It's just the winters are like 7 months long now.
Right. Yeah. Like in the last like 6 weeks, my wife and I were in LA, San Diego, and then San Francisco. And we were like, can we just keep doing this? This is pretty great.
Which do you prefer? I'm curious.
We love San Diego. We've been there several times since we got married, and it's just we like it.
It's great. It's so relaxed and laid back, and probably the best weather in the country.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, Rick and I have already recorded an intro. He is a police officer, and so he had some like training thing that he had to jump off and go do. And so we'll just knock this off. So first of all. So welcome to the show. This is awesome. And is it Wagner? Wagner. It's like we've had some names here recently that they look one way and are not that way at all. So yours is like it looks. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, last time I was German, then it'd probably be Wagner.
Yeah. So
good to ask.
Awesome. So let's just start off. Tell us your story. Kind of give us the Cliff's Notes version. How did Dr. Josh Wagner get to where you are right now?
So I'd say it all started with meeting the godfather of chiropractic. I'm a doctor of chiropractic, and back in I was a sophomore at NYU in Manhattan, and I randomly got interested in the art and science and philosophy of chiropractic and natural healing. And two chiropractic mentors I had said, you know, Josh, you got to show up to this address in Brooklyn at 7:15 p.m. Thursday night if you really want to understand chiropractic and you really want to be like a great chiropractor.
It wasn't like out in the middle of a golf course green and then the sprinklers came on at that time, was it? It wasn't
a prank. I was nervous about that because Brooklyn nowadays can be really posh and expensive and nice. And back then, 15 years ago, this was not an area that you wanted to be on,
right?
You know, when the sun went down. And so I show up and they tell me the front door is going to be unlocked. No one's going to be upstairs, go downstairs. So I am thinking just like you mentioned the 18th hole.
Right.
And I show up to this home and I go, and just like they said, front door is unlocked. No one's upstairs. I find my way to the basement staircase and something already seems off because it's wood ceilings and wood walls and I feel like I'm in a hunting lodge, not in Brooklyn. And as I'm going down the stairs, I see a whole basement furnished with rows of church benches and about a dozen adults. They ended up being chiropractors sitting there waiting for this 93-year-old retired chiropractor to come and speak. And it was his home. And he had practiced for 35 years and for the last 20 years had been teaching every single Thursday night in his home to chiropractors, past patients, past staff on philosophy, personal growth, chiropractic, religion. I mean, you name it. He just was a beautiful soul that emanated love. And he looked like Albert Einstein with the white hair popping out and the glasses with the thick the thick glasses, so it made his eyes look big. And
I think if you look like that, if you wear like an Albert Einstein costume and no one knows you, and you just say whatever you want, everyone's going to be like, "Ooh,
exactly." Because yeah. half the stuff you couldn't understand, but you could just feel his energy was so pure.
Yeah,
and just a beautiful, beautiful human being. His name's Pasquale Sarasola.
Well, that's fitting. If you said guess this guy's name, I'd have been like, Pasquale. I don't know.
Right, and he's just you know, you could find him in some places on YouTube, and you won't understand 90% of what he's saying. But I could boil down all of his messages to three words that make a difference. No matter who you are, it doesn't matter if you are a chiropractor or not, have gone to a chiropractor or not, this is just a staple that I live my life by now and want to be a benefit to the audience and your viewers by sharing it with them. So all of it combined to three words, which interestingly, at some of my seminars, I've had people tattoo these words
on their
wrist. So it reminds them every day of like, hey, this is the best way to go through life and to keep me accountable.
The words aren't Billy Bob Thornton, are they? Are those the words?
Did you hear the story already?
No. Okay. I'm trying to fill in. Rick usually makes these little comments like that. So I was thinking, what three words would Rick say as a joke?
that's all good. So the three words are tone over bone. Now, from a chiropractor standpoint, that relates to your intention is far more important than the bone
right.
you choose to adjust and how you adjust it, because chiropractors get into arguments about the right way to analyze and adjust and the technique and the x-ray and all these nitty-gritty details. But what counts more than anything else is why you're adjusting it, how you adjust it, the tone, your intention of making a constructive difference in that person's body and right. nervous system and letting them heal. And it spans far, far beyond just patient care. I mean, this applies to your commitment over your attachment, your intention over your doing. I mean, whether it's workouts, whether it's eating habits, why you do something
right.
and how you do something.
Or why you don't do something.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. So your why behind what you do determines so much more than anything else. And every interaction that you have with someone, any time that you know your tone is down, like you're like today, I was just in like a weird groggy mindset, and it happens to all of us. It's part of being human right. and to just always recognize that we are responsible for and able to change our tone whenever we want. We can't change the results necessarily. We can influence them by our tone, and to have that as a mantra to go through life, no matter what your endeavor, no matter what you're passionate about, is so valuable, because it's so easy to get sidetracked in today's yeah. world with the constant bombardment of technology and connectivity. So tone over bone is really how I got started, and my message that I share more than anything with people to make a difference, which leads into the upcoming book.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that book. So you have to listen to the rest of the interview before we get to the book. And of course, you can just look in the show notes too, if you're a big cheater and don't want to listen. So let's like talk about what you're doing now. I know like in your intro, like you're a speaker, you're an author, all this other stuff. Like what is your kind of day to day right now? Are you still working with patients? Are you traveling all over the place? Like what are you doing now?
Yeah, good question. So after the first few years in practice, I realized that wasn't my calling, seeing patients day-to-day, one-on-one chiropractic practice. I love chiropractic. I endorse it. But I felt very confined by the four walls of the practice and only being able to deliver my service during set hours. And I realized I could make a bigger difference for chiropractors. So over the next 5 years, had an online coaching program for chiropractors, showing them how to deliver the really exceptional new patient experience, from the communication to how patients are treated. And during those 5 years, what was interesting is I took on another understanding of tone over bone, because I was giving my clients all over the world pretty much the same strategies, no matter where they were located.
Right.
And some of them took them and flourished, thrived. Some of them took the same exact ones in the same city or town, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, the procrastination, self-sabotage, it just didn't work the same. And I started seeing over those 5 years of being on the other end of self-growth and development, because I've been someone who's consumed it my whole life, but now the one delivering it, what I came to find was the single underlying difference between people who get from where they are to where they want to get to in any endeavor, whether this is your body, this is your mental health, this is your income, your relationships. And that is what the entire book is about. It has nothing to do with chiropractors or chiropractic. And so over the last 5 years, it's been online coaching and training. It's been traveling to deliver seminars. And now I'm creating that for the general public, cool, not just chiropractors, based on this one understanding that, yeah, I've come to realize over the past 5 years.
I wish there was some way we could, like, the only way to do this, like, in a controlled setting would be, like, to break, like, twins' arms like the same way and, like, have one of them, like, really motivated. Like, if you get your arm fixed fast, you're going to, like, make all this money, you know? And, like, and this other one is, like, if you don't fix your arm fixed, we're going to give you all this money, you know? Like, so, like, I guess I know that sounds like something out of, like, a horror movie or something, but it's like, if people are motivated to, like, just for instance, get well, like if they're about to go on a vacation and they get sick, it's like, they're really motivated. They're going to do everything they can do. They're going to be, okay, I'm going to get better before this, you know? Or like if you get sick before a big test or something and you don't want to get well, like it's really, your tone matters. Like, it makes a big difference in your body's healing process.
Oh, absolutely. And so, whether it's your discipline and diligence leading to your habits, your motivation of, are you going to put them into play? Are you going to learn new? All of those play, of course, a significant role. And there's one before that I say, if you have this one tone, all of those others are going to fall into place. The motivation, the discipline, the diligence, the character of doing what you know is right. But if you don't, you can add all of those in and you'll end up still self-sabotaging, procrastinating, doing things that cause you to not get the results
right. You're
after. And that's what I'm excited to now have been sharing with people outside of business or chiropractic and seeing the difference it makes in any area of their life, including health and well-being.
So did you say there is like a one most important tone, or is it like different for everybody?
There's one most important that can be applied to anyone in any sphere of life. It's the entire premise of my book, and I'll of course share it with you and your audience to start the process of making a difference for them. And here, I'll just get right into it right now. So, Mark, you don't have to say it out loud, and everyone listening, Okay. Think of one area in your life that you're really, really passionate about, you care about, you want to see change in, and you're actively putting energy and effort towards it. So not some pie in the sky pipe dream, like, oh, I hope in 20 years, you know, I'm living in Hawaii stress-free. Like,
right.
Something that's real in your life right now.
Okay.
You don't have to tell me, but think about what that end result is that you want.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask one single easy question. It's a yes or no answer that's going to give you the understanding of what that tone is of, if you have it, you've got the chance of getting this in your life. If you don't, there's no chance until you switch it.
Okay.
So think of that one in that specific area.
Okay.
And just answer this question. Do you truly believe you deserve having that in your life?
Yes.
Good. You're on your way to get it.
Well,
so most people, when they experience sabotage, burnout, frustration, procrastination, it's inherently because they don't believe they deserve having whatever they're after, which is a very common issue with, you know, when we grow up, we get planted in our minds and our psyches these undeserving beliefs.
Yeah. And actually in your talking points, that was like the next thing when we kind of got done with all the intro stuff and kind of what you're doing now, I wanted to bring up the deserving process. And is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly. So the deserving process is a meditative process that you could do from the comfort of your own home. You don't need to work with anyone. It doesn't cost a dime. It's out completely in the book and on my website of how to flip the switch from an undeserving to a deserving belief applied to any area of your life. So whether this is your body and your health, or your weight, or your stamina, to relationships, income, happiness, and peace of mind, because inevitably, it doesn't matter who you are, we've got undeserving beliefs in important areas of our life. And if you don't address it specifically, it's very rare that they just happen to turn on by themselves.
In your opinion, I guess, and all the work that you've done and all the people that you've worked with, and you kind of touched on it a second ago, but like, why? I feel like something's going on where we're having to talk about having the deserving process. Like, no, you deserve it. Like, what? Why are we as humans wired to think we don't deserve stuff? Like, what happens? Is it different for everybody, or do you think there's kind of like a thread that goes through everybody?
Yeah, good question. And you said the word wired. So this, everyone is affected by growing up, their youth, their adolescence, by whoever was most around them. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's our parents or caregivers. And it could be a string of one of your parents was always making comments about, you know, you shouldn't be eating that much. And then you have this just undeserving belief of having proper weight and health. Right. It could have been one moment that an older sibling or an uncle or a bully, you know, said, you know, you're fat. And then you have this undeserving belief of, I'm never going to be able to lose the weight. Now, when you say wired, that creates the wiring in our mm-hmm. psychology and belief system. I do believe that people can be born based on, you know, their parents and what they experienced in the womb with already just being born into this world with undeserving beliefs, but that's getting just to a deeper level yeah. of the onion, more metaphysical, and really doesn't matter. The point is, if you have them, no matter how you got them, you could do something about it. And the first step is just being aware. So a lot of people just hearing that realize, you know what? I'm self-sabotaging myself because I don't believe I deserve to have this level of health. And for some people, just understanding that is enough to knock them out of it
yeah.
and make a difference. But yeah. for others, because it's been so ingrained and it's been 20, 30, 40 years, you need to do some pruning of those beliefs. And that's what the deserving process is for you to do that, just a daily process to start seeing change externally and feel a lot better and not feel undeserving on the inside.
Yeah, it's that whole nature versus nurture kind of debate. And, you know, it, like one of the examples I like to use is like if there's like parents that have children, and if the children, let's say the parents are dealing with health issues and they're dealing with obesity or diabetes or just whatever it is, and the children are also, you know, dealing with the same issues, well, it's like, well, it's just a hereditary thing. Okay, well, there's that, yeah, that plays a role, but also let's look at the environment. Let's look at the behaviors that aren't hereditary that you can change. And there, you know, I think there is, yeah, absolutely. Genetics and everything like are obviously really important, but there is it's kind of like, you know, this bailout of, oh, well, it's just, it's hereditary.
Oh, right. And you're exactly right. Your environment dictates tremendously, and it doesn't mean you have to mirror your environment. For most people, they either mirror it or rebel against it, but nothing's random. So if you're in an environment where parents are obese and have obese lifestyle habits, of course you're more likely to right. believe that, hey, that's what life's like. Just like financial wise, most people, they grow yeah. up, well, whatever their parents drove, say car wise or vacations they took or lifestyle, well, they believe that that's the lifestyle I deserve. That yeah. doesn't mean you can't break out of that, but that's the most inherent deserving belief that's incorporating in the psyche of a developing child.
Right.
And some could go the opposite way and say, no, I don't want to be like that and rebel against it and then develop their own naturally.
Yeah, man. Like, and then you talk about the whole like parent. I've got three kids, and just like, you know, just like walking around. Like, I imagine like you have like a cooking pan filled with water, and you're trying to like go from the sink to like the backyard without spilling any. That's feel like sometimes that's parenting. You're just like, oh, okay,
I'm not a parent yet, but I can only like yeah. they pick up.
Everything. Yes. Yeah.
Even what you don't want them to pick up.
Oh man.
I'll have clients who, you know, okay, here's a great example. They'll tell me about their marriage isn't working and saying very typically, hey, my children are teenage years. I can't get a divorce and move out because I don't want to do that to my children. Right. And I don't want it to influence them of, you know, setting in them that most likely they'll get a divorce because right. the statistics are there.
It's crazy.
But
yeah.
the way I'll reply back to them, and I'm not telling them to get a divorce or not, but what I'll reply back to them is, that's fine, but what you're doing right now is setting up your children to be in a marriage where they're not happy
right.
because that's where you are.
Right. Yeah, and like how is that going to influence them negatively?
Yeah, and he doesn't think it would. Like, oh, they don't see us yell. Since we didn't get a divorce, they don't see us yell at each other. They think everything's fine. It's like, no, they know what's going on. They can tell.
Then the word tone comes back into the into the mix. Like, you don't understand that negative tone that is just kind of inherent in the home at all times. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, or just lack of love.
Right, right. One of these points on here that I wanted to get to, and you know, you hear all the time about setting goals, and goals are so important, and you got to set a goal for everything. But how can, like, a goal accomplishing and being so driven to, like, check the box backfire and turn into, like, stress?
This is beautiful. It's one of my biggest talking points because I've experienced it so much, being a go-getter and nothing's ever good enough and looking great on paper, but being so unfulfilled and burnt out and unhappy myself, that I really relate to this topic. Is most people are driven to their goals, one, by low self-esteem, not feeling good enough, undeserving beliefs. And even if they get the goal, like say the goal is the bone, their tone is the same because they're approaching the reason for getting that goal from a state of low self-esteem, not being good enough.
Right.
And you probably know this, Mark, because you're, you know, all your marathons and you've trained and you've done a lot of things that you're going to start somewhere and you want to get to another place, that the majority of the time, if you accomplish what you're after, which is also a small percentage of people who actually accomplish what they're after, you feel great for about 15 minutes to 2 days.
Right.
And right after, you set an even loftier goal and you're right at the bottom of another mountain, but it's actually worse because whatever you did to accomplish the current goal, you have to maintain that. And now you have to do even better or train harder or wake up earlier or whatever it is to get to that next goal.
Right.
And so there's nothing wrong with setting goals. That's healthy. It's not about not having them. It's not dropping them. It's about understanding what you're really going after, which is the feeling that goal produces. And for some reason in your life right now, it's either missing or diminished. And you got to bring that feeling back along your pathway of getting the goal, which is actually your life every day, not the day you accomplish it 90 days from now.
Right.
And what a lot of people go for is they go for some physical or objective goal or piece of life that they've never had before. You know, whether it's the car, whether it's running their first marathon, whether it's an income level, whether it's a body weight, they go for something they've never had before because they think it's going to produce a feeling.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason they think that is because they've never had it, so they're just guessing. If they've had it, they'd know what it feels like. So we're going for something we don't have now, we've never experienced before, hoping to get a feeling back that we don't have anymore or we have very little of. Now, here's the thing. If you're probably over the age of 30, you've experienced about all the feelings life has to offer, at least once. So here's the trick. If you go to where in your life, and it may have been 5 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old, 18 years old, where you got that feeling that you don't have anymore, that's the easiest way of what can I do to reproduce that and at least start incorporating that into my life so the pathway towards the goal is a lot more enjoyable and fulfilling. And it's not about all or nothing, just getting that goal at the end.
Right.
Because for most of us, 95% of the time, we're going to quit, we're going to fail, we're going to keep changing directions as a sabotage to not being able to complete it. So our life is the pursuit of whatever we're going after. So you got to make that great. Otherwise, you know, you come to realize the more you accomplish, the emptier it feels.
Yeah. A couple of shows ago, we had a guy, Jason Seib, has been on the show several times. A friend of mine is a coach and an author and everything. And I love the example he uses. Like if you like hate yourself and you think I hate myself because I weigh 30 pounds too much. And then you like go to all these extreme measures to lose 30 pounds. You're just like, and you, let's say you lose the 30 pounds and you accomplish your goal. Well, if you still hate yourself, all you're going to do is just step closer to the mirror and find something else that you hate about yourself.
Exactly. So yeah, the bone will never change the tone. So losing the 30 pounds. And then to make it even worse is one, you still hate yourself, but then you probably hated the process of losing those 30 pounds. I guarantee whatever he's doing wasn't you know, once you lose the 30 pounds, you can't just coast. It's not like, okay, now I'm a, you know, now I'm 180 instead of 210. I can just go back to what I was doing.
Right.
You have to keep doing what you were doing.
Right.
And if you didn't like that process of getting there, you just set yourself up for a full-time life of upset and disappointment. So such a great example of, again, tone over bone.
Yeah. Another way that I coach people on this is like, okay, let's say, and using weight loss is a easy one because it's very tangible and you can see it, but it applies to anything. So it's like, okay, let's use the 30 pounds example, and you're at position A, and like you want to get down to like your position B is like your 30 pound weight loss. Well, if you starve yourself and do all these crazy things, like a Biggest Loser type of a behavioral pattern that's not sustainable, and you lose the 30 pounds, okay, now you're down in position B, but you have to completely like reinvent the wheel and change all your behaviors because they're not sustainable to stay down there. Well, then what happens? Well, you can't do that. So you go back and you gain the 30 pounds back and you feel like a failure and all that. So what I tell people is don't go for the quick fix. Don't go for like just getting that bone as fast as you can. Like start acting like the guy down at position B is acting. And it may take a while, but eventually when you get to be that down at that position, you're already doing the things that he was doing. And that goes for, you know, look ahead and like imagine this person, this financial person that you want to be that saves and does all this stuff. Don't like do something crazy to save all this crazy, to save this money. And now you get to where you're going and you don't, you know, like just start being that guy now and you'll eventually be that guy, you know?
Perfect example. And that's something, that's a theme I've been sharing more and more on. There's such a difference because so many of us, we have these big lofty goals and we're thinking whether 90 days ahead or 3 years ahead, what we want to accomplish. And we're so stuck on the end vision, which of course you need to have,
right?
Or so stuck on like the strategies and the action plan to get it, rather than there's nothing more important than how you show up just today.
Right.
Like you can control how you show up today and being your best and doing what you need to know, you know, you need to do today. Almost like a, you know, 12 step program, like, hey, just don't drink today. That's it.
Right.
I mean, that and whatever your goal is, whether it's weight loss, just showing up today without even having much of a strategy or an end vision is going to produce more of the end results you want than having the most amazing plan and end vision if you're not being your best on a day-to-day basis and one, believing you deserve it, and acting as if.
Right. Okay, I can't believe we're coming up on time, but there's a couple more things we got to do. The first thing is, this is something we do with all our guests, what is one thing that you enjoy about life or something you do that makes life more enjoyable? And it can be, it doesn't have to have anything to do with anything we just talked about.
Oh, man, there's so many things, but I love my morning walks listening to either 80s one-hit wonders or
like power ballads type stuff.
It could be anything. It could be power ballads.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Huey Lewis in the News. It could be Cyndi Lauper. I mean, it doesn't have to be jock stuff. So I love incorporating music as much as I can because by default, I'm very serious and, you know, just having the music I love in the background of life as my soundtrack just makes it so much better. And like what I was saying, listening to the music that I loved when I was a teenager that isn't always around now, like brings me back to more of that youthful energy and just that like sense of wonder.
Yeah.
So I challenge people to, if you haven't listened to the music you loved in your early childhood, like play that back. You'll get new ideas and inspiration and just feel great.
Yeah, like 90s. Like, I think of like, when I first started listening to music was like MC Hammer. It was like early 90s, Vanilla Ice. And then into like the mid to late 90s and like Pearl Jam and like all those bands. Oh, man, you're making me like, I'm going to iTunes. I'm like, download all these music. Yeah. Cool. Okay. And then finally, just talk about yourself. Website, book. Is it drjoshwagner.com? Is that the website?
Right, drjoshwagner.com. The book is called You Deserve It. It gives you a three-step process that you could do from the comfort of your home. If you acknowledge and are aware that you're experiencing that friction, self-sabotage, because, hey, you're being honest, we all have it, an undeserving belief in for whatever you're going for, use that process, watch what changes, and I'd love to hear the results. So
cool.
Find me and let me know about it.
Where do you just go to the website and that'll lead you to get the book and all that, all the other resources?
There's a tab, Yeah, there's a tab at the top of the website for the book. You could find it on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, and there's a lot of other great resources at the website to further instill the deserving belief and build that muscle.
Awesome. I will put all that in the show notes. So very cool. Thank you so much. I know we've had you on our radar for a very long time and have been so excited to finally have you on. And I'll email you when the show goes up. It'll probably be towards the end of the month I'll let you know so you can blast it out to all your folks.
I definitely will. Thank you so much, Mark.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Everyone listening.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
All right. Tone over bone, Rick. Remember that.
Oh, I have a tattoo that says that now.
on your lower back.
Why is it not? Why is it not on my chest? Like, why does it have to be on my lower back?
Well, I figure if you got a tattoo, it would be on your lower back. I just feel like that's the kind of girl you are.
Am I the only male you know without a tattoo?
Jackson doesn't have one.
Oh, that's true. Do you know that for certain?
I mean, I hadn't seen him naked in a few months.
A few months, huh?
Many years. Speaking of that, I saw our friend Jackson. He's been on the show, right?
He has not, but we have referenced him a few times. People will recall, hardcore humans will recall that growing up we had the Three Horsemen.
Yes.
Jackson and myself.
He was the one with the maggot freezer. I did tell that story.
I forgot all about that. That's so antithetical to who he is now as a human being.
Yeah. It's funny. He, like you, has two sons. His sons, though, are 2 and 1, and they are expecting a third.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So he is he is in like the full on small kid phase where he just looks like he just wants to lay down and take a nap all the time.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Now that my kids are older and they can do stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I remember that phase. I'm like, man, get me the hell out of there.
Well, and it's like, hey, y'all should come visit us. And they're like, no!
No thanks.
He was like driving with kids that small. But his sons are very cute. And then, so I go into this place that where we grew up going, and I hadn't been there in 10 years, and it was very crazy. Lots of memories that I had with you. Did I send you the video of when I walked up to Jackson?
No.
And I said, this is the place.
Literally zero pictures of Jackson, and I was very disappointed.
Hold on. So there was a memory that I have of you, and
Hang on, stop. We have to provide some context. So growing up, that's where Mark and Jackson and I met. At this church, and this is kind of not like regular church. This is like hardcore 3 times a week church. Like everyone's hanging out with each other all the time type of deal.
Yeah.
So like every inch of this entire building, we have memorized because we've seen all of it a billion times.
Yeah.
Mark goes back to this church.
It was crazy to be back there.
Last weekend for a wedding. I haven't been in there in I don't know how long, but Mark is sending us pictures of all these people because Jackson's little sister got married. Well, there's all these people that we like remember from church growing up that are there. Mark's taking pictures of them and sending them. I'm like, oh man, he's taking a picture of like the elders conference room. It was just ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, I just sent you a video.
I just felt the
vibe. Okay, hold on. Let's end this call and then stay on the line. I want to hear you watch this video. Okay. Got a lot coming up. Thanks for listening. Go to the Donate Now page. Self-care initiative. I know no one's listening to this at this point, but it's kind of different now. It's not like email me. There's a website that I'll send you to if you want information on the self-care initiative. So that is going to do it. That's going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
Greatest outro ever. And remember,
tone over bone. So until next time, enjoy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.